From the KTO newsroom, I'm Pablo Peña with a local and statewide news update. Juneau police released some additional race detail on the 38 people they reported using force in 2019. Police believe most of them were white men, but that data comes with significant limitations because police in Juneau don't ask people their race when responding to calls. KTO's Rasha McChesney has this story.
Deputy Chief David Campbell told the Juneau Assembly last week that officers stopped asking people for their race in 2016. It's an effort to avoid racial profiling. Campbell says they document race if someone discloses it, or officers can sometimes pull data about a person's race from other places, like the DMV database.
But if that isn't there, then the officer needs to take their best guess as to what the race the person is. And if they're not sure, then they write down as other.
In a later interview, Campbell said Juneau police are open to talking about that policy with the community because it does limit the department's ability to track who officers are using force on.
Maybe one of the benefits that might come out of this is maybe during this conversation, we'll be able to say, you know, it might offend somebody in the field, but it's okay for an officer to ask them on the race because this is a really important issue, you know? So maybe that directive and that will change because of all this.
And that community conversation about policing, it's something Campbell says he's looking forward to. He says Juneau has something that a lot of other communities don't. Officers who work here have to live here too. He pointed to a policing report done under the Obama administration. In it, they referred to the residents of Ferguson, Missouri, and how they considered the police there as an occupying force.
My God, that is horrible. But when you live in the same community that you police and you see people at Costco and at church and playing volleyball and just out and about, you know, we're neighbors. We are held accountable.
Residents of Juneau have been reaching out to the police department and the assembly and the city with questions about how the community is policed. There will be a listening session to hear answers to those questions on policing, racism, and social justice. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Petersburg's Borough Assembly last night voted to extend and expand a local health mandate for cruise ships and other passenger vessels expecting to dock in Petersburg this summer. The Assembly also approved spending for two new public restrooms using COVID-19 relief emergency funding. Joe Vicnicki reports.
Local health mandate number 5 requires approval by the borough's public health officer before a cruise ship can dock in Petersburg. It had been extended through the end of this month. The borough's incident commander, Carl Hagerman, recommended changes and an extension. He told the assembly those changes respond to the state's mandate number 10. That's the latest quarantine and testing options for travelers coming into Alaska from out of state.
If there's somebody on board a ship that or a vessel that meets that criteria, then that captain should be calling our health officer and getting permission to disembark in Petersburg. And the health officer's role in this will be to protect the community, to interview the captain, ask questions about what process they've gone through to meet mandate number 10.
The borough has already hired people to greet travelers arriving at the airport to determine compliance with the state's quarantine or testing. This local mandate aims to put similar safeguards in place for passenger vessels arriving in port. Besides cruise ships, Hagerman also recommended it be expanded to include charter boats and yacht flotillas. The local mandate would bar passengers from coming ashore if anyone on board has COVID-19 symptoms. It also puts the burden on the vessel owner to provide for medical care and medevacking a sick person on board. The assembly voted unanimously to extend and expand the local mandate. It's now in place through the end of August. One company, American Cruise Lines, has been in contact with the borough about docking here this summer, but that company has pushed back its starting date for its first sailings in Southeast to July 23rd. In related news, the assembly also voted to approve the purchase of two public restrooms from a company in Illinois. They'll cost just under $93,000 combined, plus the shipping from Seattle. Assemblymember Jeff Mucci said public restrooms are a need identified by the town's working group for the visitor industry.
This gives us the opportunity to use them, not just for the visitors who come to town, but when we have, you know, events in town, there's not enough restroom facilities, instead of using the state office building or Viking Travel or somewhere like that, we have public restrooms that will be taken care of, and they're handicap accessible, and we'll be able to keep them clean and tidy. And when we're not using them, they'll be maintained well and put away for the winter. And I think it's a good thing for the community.
The purchase avoids a competitive bid process. Borough staff wanted to skip bidding and advertising to speed up the purchase. And Incident Commander Hagerman answered questions from the assembly and agreed the restrooms did not come cheaply.
It is a lot of money, and it was somewhat shocking to us when we started looking around for these trailers. This is by no means a ritzy bathroom trailer. It's very utilitarian. It's a two-restroom facility with one side being ADA compliant, the other one not.
The vote was unanimous to approve that purchase. Mayor Mark Jensen was not at the meeting, but he did submit a comment opposing the restroom buy. The borough will use federal coronavirus emergency money it's receiving from the state of Alaska. It's possible one restroom could be placed in the municipal building parking lot, and another could be near the parking lot for the crane dock in the harbor. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
There won't be any jury trials in Alaska until at least September because of concerns about potentially spreading COVID-19 inside Alaska courtrooms. Alaska Supreme Court Chief Justice Joel Bolger issued the order on Monday, saying the number of coronavirus cases remains high and it's not possible to maintain social distancing in courthouses around the state. In a typical jury trial, dozens or even hundreds of people at a time might be called to a courthouse for jury selection. Then, during the trial, the courtroom is packed with jurors, court staff, attorneys and clients, witnesses, and even spectators.
We're not going to see that at this time. And, you know, I don't know when it will be safe to do that. We won't see that until it is safe to do that.
In Monday's order, Bolger says most courtrooms do not have adequate space for social distancing and they need more time to come up with new procedures to safely hold jury trials. Most non-emergency civil and criminal court proceedings were suspended in late March when the coronavirus began to spread. Those started back up again on June 1st and included allowances for witnesses to testify before grand juries by telephone or video conference. Canada and the U.S. have extended Canada and the U.S. have extended restrictions for crossing the border on Tuesday. All non-essential travel between the countries will be prohibited until at least July 21st. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says the move is important to curb the spread of COVID-19.
Yes.
Sounds like we're having some technical difficulties there. There are exceptions. Alaska residents in the lower 48 are allowed to transit Canada to return home. Workers in essential industries are also allowed to cross in both directions, nor do the restrictions apply to trade. But they do affect tourism and recreational travel, including shopping. Fewer than 100,000 Canadians have tested positive for COVID-19. More than 8,000 have died. More than 2 million Americans have tested positive for the virus. 118,000 have died. This is the third time the border restrictions have been extended since March. And Anchorage is hoping to become the headquarters of the United States Space Command. In a letter dated June 10th, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz and Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy write that Anchorage meets all the requirements for becoming the next headquarters for United States military operations in outer space. The Space Command coordinates activity in space made by the U.S. Army, Navy, Air Force, and the latest branch of the military, the Space Force. It's provisionally headquartered in Colorado after it was reestablished in August of last year. To qualify for consideration, cities must be within the top 150 metropolitan areas by population and be located within 25 miles of a military base. Mark Lester is the CEO of Alaska Aerospace, a public corporation that runs Alaska's launch facility in Kodiak. He's taking the lead in Anchorage's bid and says Alaska already has a lot of aerospace infrastructure, including UAF's Poker Flat Research Range and Clear Air Force Station. He says that having a mix of public, private, and military knowledge will help Anchorage's bid. He says, quote, what does it mean to have a military sensors and capabilities and then have those capabilities nearby for situational awareness and have the workforce that's familiar with that, that can bring that type of know-how and understanding and expertise to the command and make smart decisions, end quote. This is KTO News.